And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next hour, we're going to get you set for the Giants and Philadelphia Eagles, tell you about the top 10 things you need to know about this game. And to help me over this next hour, two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks, former Giants offensive lineman Roman Oben, and our intrepid reporter, the one, the only, Paul Dottino. All right, let's take a look at what we have on tap for you over this hour. We'll hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. We'll take you inside the locker room. You'll hear from quarterback Eli Manning and Justin Tuck, amongst others. Also on the program, we're going to look at this fierce rivalry between the Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. Carl Banks is going to have strategy, plus Pat Hanlon warming up the pipes. He'll bring us our online segment. But what we like to do to get this thing going, and with a fast pace, it's time for our no huddle. So we put 25 seconds up on the play clock. Mr. Banks, I start with you. What do you have in your no huddle? You're thinking small right now, aren't you?
Oh, I'm thinking really small. I'm talking about details, attention to detail, doing the little things so that the big things will happen on a more frequent basis.
And
no missed blocks, no missed assignments, execution.
And later on in the show, Carl is going to go to the coach's tape with his strategy and show you some of those little things that you need to know. All right, Roman, we've got 25 seconds on the clock for you. Banksy left you a little bit of time.
Good.
You want to talk about consistency.
Yeah, and I think, look, the record is what it is. The Giants are 0-4. The first quarter of the season is over. But last week, we saw a team that showed flashes. You saw Cruz, big play. We saw an interception. We saw something in the running game. But now we need a sustained, consistent effort, because that's what it's going to take to beat a divisional game at home that's very winnable. So we want to see sustained, consistent effort for 60 minutes on Sunday.
Look at you guys. You guys are staying under time. No false starts here.
Yeah, we don't want first and 15.
Pressure's on Dottino. All right, Paul, you're taking this from a little bit more of a mental standpoint.
Well, you know, Bob, so much of this game, guys, is emotional and mental, and the Giants really haven't had a feel-good win since the opening game of the preseason. So in reality, even though they're 0-4, and the preseason doesn't count, it kind of does. They're really on a 7-game losing streak, not just a 4-game losing streak. They need a win in the worst way just to feel good again, Bob.
All right, listen, Paul's channeling even preseason games.
Believe me, they don't even remember preseason.
Well,
trust me.
There's a lot to dial into. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin is all fired up. That means it's item number one. Item number one is always the head coach, Tom Coughlin, taking a look at this game and breaking it down for us. Philadelphia comes in this Sunday with Chip Kelly, new head coach of the league. But you know one thing that Philadelphia has is speed, with Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and DeSean Jackson, guys that can get up the field. So I would guess that sound, disciplined football is important here.
Well, all the way around, because of the style of play that they put into place down in Philadelphia, which is the no huddle and over the ball and trying to play the game at a faster pace. So you do have to be very disciplined, because you got to get lined up, you got to get the call, you got to recognize the set, you got to be ready to go so that you're not caught, you know, looking around for a signal from someone on the defensive side of the ball or a coach from the sideline, and they snap the ball.
12 games to go in the season. Your team this week has said a lot of the right things as far as the leadership guys are concerned. When you look at this football team, though, and you look at the Denver game, it's a one-point game with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Against Kansas City, it's a field goal game with a minute 55 to go in the third quarter. Do you feel like you guys are closer than maybe the results would indicate?
Well, I know this, okay, and I say this honestly, and it's not an excuse. That certainly was not a 31-7 game the other day. Our defense played well enough for that. We've got to have some balance. You know, when we get in these situations, we got to make a play on the offensive side of the ball, or special teams make a play. We really thought we might be able to run a kickback last weekend against Kansas City. We thought we were in position to do that. Well, some of these thoughts have to be transferred into the positives. They've got to take place. And both of the situations you're describing are both late in the third quarter, 17-16, 10-7. You know, okay, let's do it. We've got the opportunity. Let's make something happen here. Let's establish who we are and take the game from there. Maybe perhaps some of those scores that are a little bit lopsided are in our favor if we do.
Well, the coach summed it up pretty much. The Giants need a victory. All right, Paul Dottino, You're going to be going to the locker room. What do you got coming up next?
Well, guys on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, think they've got the magic formula to finally get one in the win column.
All right, so when we come back here on the program, Paul in the Giants locker room getting you set for the Giants and Eagles right here on Giants First and 10 on MSG.
You know, and just talking to some of the guys on the plane, you know, a lot of guys are enthused to get back on the practice field, get back to you know, playing another game. You know, even though we got to crawl before we walk and just take it one day at a time. You know, you want that sense of urgency, and that's what you have to feel. So, you know, we're excited about being back out here. We understand that the next game is the most important game.
Eagles quarterback Michael Vick talking about the loss in Denver last week in which they gave up 52 points, and the Eagles have dropped their last three. All right, time to put item number two up on the board, and that means the locker room as we welcome back in Paul DeTina. What do you have for us, Paul?
Well, you know, Bob, people are talking about Philly's dynamic offense. They're making headlines. Chip Kelly brings that old Oregon playbook to Philadelphia. They're averaging 25 points a game, 12th in the NFL. Not too bad, but it's this style that's really got people going crazy. The Giants, though, however, think they've got an answer for it.
I think the biggest challenge is just confusion and chaos. I think they want to, you know, they go fast. And there ain't no doubt about that. But I think defense is that, you know, you got to simplify things, and they know that. But you do have to simplify. And I think the teams that have been, at the line of scrimmage, ready to go when they're ready to go, have, you know, had better success against them.
I think Peyton Manning ran, you know, they run fast like that. So, I think we'll be okay. I think we've been practicing it for a long time, going against a gang of different teams that have an up-tempo style. We do it in practice. So as long as everybody, you know, get off the ball, run back to their position, and get ready for the next call, I think we'll be fine.
Now, you know what's very interesting about this thing, fellas, is that for all of the yards that Philadelphia gets between the 20s, they're tied for 27th in the league in red zone offense, Bob, and that really doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it?
No, and they lead the NFL in yards per play, 6.9, but time of possession, they're last in the league, only 24 and a half minutes. Carl, fast break. What do the Giants need to do to sort of deal with this?
Well, I think there are two things that they really have to focus on, and number one is, as these plays come, they've got to focus on assignments. They got to make sure that they know where they're supposed to be, because that's where you give up the big play. And then secondly, they just have to play fast but play physical.
All right, Roman, give us the flip, invert this for us a little bit from an offensive guy's perspective.
Well, I think offensively the goal is to make a defense cover the whole field, you know, limit them from getting in and out of substitutions, coming from the sidelines, and put them in a position where they're on their heels. And you got to defend all these things. And here comes Shady McCoy running at you full speed, and he can make anybody miss. So offensively, you want to be able to dictate what you can do so the defense cannot.
And just quickly, Carl, though, this is nothing new. I mean, the Buffalo Bills did this in Super Bowl 25.
Yeah.
I mean, Chip Kelly's brought his own different brand in, but Weiss did it in Cincinnati before that. I mean, this is not a new concept. The Broncos go quickly.
Well, the Indianapolis Colts under Peyton Manning went very quick as well. So, you know, it's understanding what they want to do, because they have one guy that likes to go deep, they have another guy that likes to go short, and they got a running back. So once you dissect what they want, they can get to it a lot of ways. They're going to space you out, but if it's a guy going deep, you know who it's going
to
be.
All right. Time to put item number three up on the board, which is back into the Giants locker room with Paul.
All right, Bob, in talking about the Giants offense now, and they've shown some flashes during the first month of the season. Nothing really consistent, though. Last weekend in Kansas City, they ran the ball for over 90 yards. That was a season high for Big Blue's offense. And in talking to some of the offensive players, they really believe that the offense is really close to being in sync.
We just got to, be sound in our execution and don't get in bad situations with penalties or going backwards. We just got to, just execute each play and go out there and compete and try to avoid the negative plays.
Because over the first four games, through the course of those games, you've seen spurts from each position group, of what we can do. We show we could pass the ball, we still feel like we could run the ball as well, too. We're just rallying behind each other right now, man. We're still believing in ourselves, believing in each other. We believe we're still going to come out with a victory.
Now, this will be a real good time for the Giants offense to get healthy. Look, Philly's averaging about 35 points a game allowed on defense. They're giving up like 450 yards a game on defense, and they're giving up 28 first downs a game on defense, near the bottom of the league in all those categories.
It means nothing if they can't do the little things. Just think about, rewind 2 weeks to Carolina. Carolina had a decimated defensive backfield. You think right. The Giants ever had an opportunity to exploit it? So in order to exploit it, you've got to handle your business first. That means five guys on the line making five blocks, not four guys trying to make five blocks.
Yeah, and look at this offensive line as a whole in this offense. Three out of four games on the road start the season, and that makes for bad communication problems game day. So you can practice well, you can conceptualize things during the week, but if you don't have the guys together to have the confidence to really translate that on Sundays, no matter what type of opportunities are out there during the week, then it won't happen. But this is a week at home where there should be some opportunities offensively for the Giants.
All right, and speaking of the Giants offense, when we come back, we're going to focus in deeper on the Giants offensive line, and we're going to be joined in studio by Giants offensive lineman Kevin Booth. Just a reminder, folks, here's a schedule of Giants first and 10 throughout the course of this weekend. Obviously, it debuts Friday nights on MSG Plus, but you can check it out on Saturdays throughout the course of the day and get yourself set on Sunday mornings as well. It's Giants first and 10. When we come back on the program, Kevin Booth joins us after this.
The Giants-Eagle rivalry is huge. Being on the other side of rivalry, you know, it was a game that we would always get up and get intense for. Now being with the Giants, you know, I'm just ready to take a shot at it from the other end.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Eagles on Sunday. Well, it's time for our player spotlight. Item number four up on the board. And this week we focus in on the Giants offensive line.
If you finish your block, okay, all right, they cannot stop this offense. But we run draw, got to finish your block. Okay, we run gas, we got to, everybody's just got to dig down a little bit deeper, and we can put them in the rope because now it's run and pass. All right, let's go.
One of the things about this O-line is you have some older guys and you have some younger guys. So what is it that makes the chemistry work and why you guys get along so well together?
It's a great mixture. I mean, we have a lot of vets still on this team that give you that wisdom and knowledge. And you got the young guys with something to prove. So you have that. Once we get all that together and we get our starting five solid and legit, we're going to be a good team.
Let's run. Home! Oh,
stay tight now.
What we're doing right now is focusing on the small things, the details, because those small little details are the things that make a difference between winning that block and losing that block. So what we started from this week and forward, we're not going to worry about what happened in the past. We're focusing on the present because that's the only thing we can change.
The run game can help you build momentum as a line. Do you sense it that way? Is that really the way it works?
It definitely felt good to get out of there and run the ball. I think we got to continue that this week. Obviously, get more yards and, put points up first, I think, will be big for us. And I think it definitely helps, you know, every facet of the game with the offensive line.
As a line, we came in with kind of a chip on our shoulder anyway. We're a confident group, and, you know, there's a lot of people who don't believe in us. So if we don't believe in ourselves as a group, then how can we expect someone else to believe in us? You know what I'm saying?
I love playing this game. You know it's going to be a smash mouth game. You know it's going to be a fist fight, and that's what I love. That's what I love about this game is that physical aspect. And I know come Sunday, I'm going to lay everything I got out on the football field.
And David Deal back in the lineup, coming off the injury to his thumb, an injury that occurred during the preseason of 2013, and we welcome in, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but one of the elder statesmen of the Giants offensive line. Kevin Booth joins us here on the program, and Kevin, look, it's been a little tumultuous for you guys. A lot of moving parts. How much has it been the fact that you've had no continuity lining up the same way every week?
You know what? I think that'd be taking the easy way out. I think that we've all worked together one way or another throughout the course of training camp or OTAs. So I can't use that as an excuse, but, we're excited about what we have out there. We have guys coming back off of injury, and we've been working hard, and we're excited about this next opportunity.
Well, I'm going to take the easy way out for you because I think you're saying everything that you need to say. But as a group, and Roman's an ex-offensive lineman, and, you know, the more you work together, obviously, the better the continuity is, and you know how to help each other. And when the transition comes, right, you know, if there's a guy that comes in this week or, you know, missed a couple of weeks of training camp, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Right.
I know you're not going to say that, but when you look at how an offensive line, it's kind of like a little symphony there, and you guys got to be all in tune together.
Right, and I think that's been our problem so far this season. You know, we might have four good blocks, and we might have one poor block. And, you know, you said it's like a symphony. We've all got to work together. And the unfortunate thing is that we've all seemed to have taken turns having our difficulties at times throughout the course of the season. So I think that once we get some consistency out there and start handling our blocks all together at the same time, we'll be a lot more successful.
Yeah, I mean, this is your eighth year in the league now, and you're one of the leaders on the line. And you know, we've all watched you just climb and work your way up to being a really solid offensive line in this league. You know, what kind of advice do you give to the young guys, the Pughs, Brewers, Cordell? I mean, those young guys that you saw yourself in that position when they were trying to learn how to be good offensive linemen in the NFL.
That's the thing. Well, I was very fortunate enough to come to the Giants when, you know, he had a very talented and a veteran offensive line. So yeah. I was that sixth or seventh offensive lineman. But the one thing that Coach Flaherty has always preached to us in that room is that you never know when your time's going to come. It could right. be after one play. So I always prepared as if I was a starter at multiple positions, and to learn as much as you can to help prepare for anything that might happen throughout the course of the season.
One of the things that we notice about you, and I always tease Bob, but you're like the Swiss Army knife of the offensive line. You played guard, center, tackle, opposite guard, center. What is that all about? Like, just being that versatile, I guess, makes you that much more valuable. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to find a role on the team. So it's whatever the coaches want me to do, I'm more than happy to do it. Whether it's playing center, whether it's playing guard, I can just, you know, wherever they need me, that's what I'm willing to do. Learn as much as I can and to help the team win.
Specifically this week with this Eagles defense, I mean, we were just talking about, you know, the wide nine, you know, a year ago.
Right.
And now they've gone to a 3-4. With the personnel they have now, I mean, how are they adjusting defensively to this new defensive scheme and going against what you guys are going to do on Sunday?
They've worked tremendously hard. You can tell that it's a work in progress, but they have a lot of exceptional players out there on that front seven. You look at those guys on the defensive line and right. the athleticism at the linebacker level. I think that they're adjusting very well. It's obviously a transition phase because a lot of those guys were brought in to play that 4-3 defense that they had in years right. past. But they do present a lot of challenges, and they create a lot of confusion out there.
Kevin, on that note, you guys look at the film. How close is the symphony from being completely tuned in?
I think it's very close, and I think that's why we're so excited and everybody's so positive. It's we know how close things can be in the NFL. You can be off by just that much, and it looks terrible out there. But once you click, all of a sudden that positive energy and that confidence starts to build, and all of a sudden you're very tough to stop. So that's a belief we've had, and we've always had that here, and we're so used to being successful on the offensive side with the Giants that we remain confident that we will turn this around fairly soon.
Kevin, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday against the Eagles.
All right, you got it.
That's Giants offensive lineman Kevin Booth joining us here on the program. Still to come on the show when we come back, Anita Marks. She's got tough questions for us every week. You don't want to miss the blitz. But as we go to this commercial break, let's take a look at the Giants programming on MSG and on My9. Giants First and 10 debuts every Friday night. You don't want to miss that. Check out Giants Chronicles, debuting every Sunday over on My9. And obviously, Giants Post Game Live plus Giants Rewind the following week. All on MSG and My9, your home for New York Giants football. We are back on Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Giants and Eagles Sunday at MetLife Stadium. All right, time for item number 5 on the clock. We call it the Blitz as we welcome in Anita Marks. Anita, take it away.
All right, here we go. Like we know, Tom Coughlin was once a college coach, made the transition to the NFL. So, as we know, coming into town is Chip Kelly. College coaches making that transition, here's the question. What is the one thing they need to do to have success in the NFL? Let's put a minute on the clock. Discuss.
I think number one is just understanding the personnel and the personalities. You no longer have control of your locker room. You're dealing with grown men. That's step number one.
Yeah, and I think also you go from dealing with high school kids that you recruit out of high school. You're kind of responsible for that age 18 to 22 or whatever. Now you've got 30-year-olds that you got to manage them, and you don't have 85 guys on the sidelines anymore. So you've got to make sure you're not beating those guys into the ground, because those college guys that come in, they're always – you know, hard training camps. I went through Butch Davis in Cleveland. I mean, I went through some tough, you know, college coaches. But as long as they can manage the health and the emotions of coaching a 30-year-old guy, I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't have the luxury of being able to pull a guy's scholarship.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
These players have agents. They have a union to back them. Yep. And if the guy just signed a five-year deal with $30 million guaranteed, you know,
he can say kick rocks, and you got to go look at his contract
right.
And say, okay, we got to figure out how to work this out.
Yeah, 100%.
There we go.
So treatment of the players is really, we're in agreement here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Number two, as poorly as the Giants have played, believe it or not, they still have a chance in the NFC East, because you've got Dallas, who's at the top. They're taking on the Denver Broncos this week, and then you have the Redskins on a bye. So here's the question. Is it smart for the New York Giants coaching staff to use the standings as a motivational factor? A minute on the clock. Go.
Well, when you're in a state of despair and you can look at the standings and see that you still have a chance, it's okay to mention that, sure.
This has to be the first time that I can ever remember this early in the season where all four coaches in the division are using the same thing as a motivational tool.
Right.
Look at the standings. I mean, Washington got a win against Oakland last week. They're on a bye. They were like, hey, we're only a game out.
Right,
Philadelphia
right.
is like, if we win, we could be tied with the Cowboys. And Dallas could grab a stranglehold if they ever upset Denver. But it's,
yeah. Yeah,
it's
and,
weird.
And you can't – I mean, we saw Seattle go 7-9, go to the playoffs, win a game in the playoffs. But and that's not by design. So we just have to make sure that it's about execution and take care of our business, because the schedule and that all plays itself
yeah.
out. So you got to just make sure you're doing your job. And whatever it ends up that way.
Yeah, but if the clock says you still got time, the standings can show that you're right in the thick of it with one win.
I think in talking to a number of the players this week, more than what the coaches are motivating, they're aware of it more so, I think, than years past. Here we go. Question number three. Victor Cruz, believe it or not, as poorly as this offense has been playing, is still fourth in the league in receiving yards. How about that? Here's the question. Is it fair or unfair to typecast Victor Cruz as a slot receiver? A minute back on the clock. Go.
Completely unfair. I think he's an open receiver. He's the guy that catches the ball. So wherever they line him up, he makes plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the notion, it's not where you line up, it's where you wind up, right? So
yeah.
If you can create space, run good routes. I mean, he's had some really big plays, big touchdowns, 69 yards, 50 yards, what have you. I mean, go back to Jacksonville days. It was Keenan McCardell, Jimmy Smith. I mean, they were both highly productive. Whoever was deemed as the number one guy really didn't make a difference. So as long as you can produce, Bob, as you know, that's
yeah,
all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, and they move Cruz to the slot when they go three wides. But for the most part, I mean, they're in two wides. He's a receiver. And he's
yeah.
Listen, usually the slot guys don't average 18 yards a catch.
Right, right.
And since 2011, Victor Cruz has 7 touchdown catches of 70 or more yards. Big plays. He's got 2 this year, a 70 and a 69. That's not what you would consider the Welker slot guy working those little
right.
whip routes. He's going downfield and making plays.
You guys
miscast.
You guys have been in agreement for all three questions. I've got to come up with better questions next time.
Well, we agree on different
questions. These are very smart questions. That's why we're agreeing on them.
Yeah, I mean, it kept us on point, but
great
good
job.
Discussion points. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Anita. All right, when we come back on the program, Carl Banks is going to work that coach's tape and break down the strategy on how the Giants will match up against the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll tell you about that. But as we go to this commercial break, the Giants-Eagles rivalry is a classic. Here's a little more flavor of this rivalry that began in 1933.
When you're playing a rival like the Eagles, it's a fight from beginning to end. It doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter what's on the line, because you know that all your boys are with you and you don't want to let anybody down. You want to come out with a win at all costs.
We are back on Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and Philadelphia Eagles. Time for item number 6, and this is a look at the rivalry. One of the fiercest rivalries in the National Football League. No love lost when the Giants and Eagles square off.
Big Blue's fierce rivalry with their Philadelphia neighbors down the road dates all the way back to 1960, when Giants star Frank Gifford would suffer an almost career-ending injury after this devastating hit from the Eagles' Chuck Bednarik.
I caught the ball just about the same time he caught me, and then I was coming across the middle, and he hit me in the chest, and my head snapped back, and the field was semi-frozen at the time. But I know that years later, I had MRI taken of my neck, and I had several vertebrae that had calcium growth over a fracture. And I didn't play anymore that season. Had I played anymore, you know, it could have been really serious.
Fueling the fire would be the infamous fumble in 1978. With the Giants leading the Eagles 17-12 late in the fourth quarter, all quarterback Joe Prozarczyk had to do was take one more snap and kneel with the ball.
Under 30 seconds left in the game. From here on in, Prozarczyk can just fall on the football, and there is nothing the Eagles can do. And Prozarczyk fumbles the football. It's picked up by Herman Edwards. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Eagles. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The Eagles beat the Giants 19-17 before a shocked crowd at the Meadowlands.
The play became known as the symbol of the Giants' struggles throughout the entire decade of the 70s. But in 1981, Big Blue would change the fate of their franchise forever by drafting Lawrence Taylor out of North Carolina.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
The rookie, LT, would wreak havoc all season long on quarterback Ron Jaworski. And the Giants would get some much-needed redemption, beating the Eagles in Philadelphia for their first playoff victory in 18 years.
There was no animosity like there was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
If there was ever a bad boy on the block that you had to beat in order to take away the title, it was the guy down the street.
Fittingly, in 2007, the Giants would have a historic day against the Eagles, sacking Donovan McNabb an NFL record 12 times. In that game, Michael Strahan would break the Giants' all-time sack record.
First and 10 Eagles, McNabb back to throw. Steps up under pressure, and he's sacked by Michael Strahan, and there's the record, 133.5, and he does it with Lawrence Taylor in the house.
Heir apparent O.C. Umanura would also set a franchise record with 6 sacks in the game.
And he gets sacked again by Umanura. Sack number 6 for O.C. Giants record.
Deja vu would strike in 2010 at the Meadowlands, when DeSean Jackson's touchdown return off a Matt Dodge punt basically crushed any hopes of the Giants making the playoffs.
DeSean Jackson! The Eagles win!
This is Miracle in the Meadowlands!
I mean, just two teams, man, they just got bad blood between them.
But in 2011, a player would emerge onto the scene to erase the sting of that bitter defeat.
Manning back to throw, zips one left, caught by Cruz, runs out of a tackle to the 40, up to midfield, makes another man miss to the 45, down the left sideline. There goes Cruz, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 74 yards.
Playing in only his third game, second-year wide receiver Victor Cruz's coming out party could not have come at a better time or against a bigger opponent.
He took it away from two defenders. What a play by Victor Cruz, and the Giants have the lead back.
Cruz hauled in 3 passes for 110 yards and 2 thrilling touchdowns and sent a message to Giants fans that the best is yet to come.
And that's a look, just a snippet of the Giants-Eagles rivalry. All right, Carl Banks, you had many battles with the Philadelphia Eagles during your playing career. What was it like when you played Philadelphia?
Well, you know, everyone talks about the Dallas Cowboy-Giant rivalry and the Redskin-Giant rivalry. Eagles-Giants was a little more personal because it was something about them that always challenged your ability to be better than them. You know, they were always, they always had the chip on their shoulder, and you had to show them that you're the best. And it was just personal.
Roman, you had a chance to play in this rivalry as a member of the Giants. Neither team was really that good, your Giants teams and the Eagles teams, but the nastiness was still there.
Yeah, I remember, you know, going against Hugh Douglas and in those, that era in the mid-late 90s, and just taking the bus down the turnpike, staying in Cherry Hill. I mean, it really puts you back in that high school mode. And by end of the week, you wanted to beat the Eagles in a parking lot. You didn't care where you played them. Yeah. And that was the kind of mentality you had to have, you know, going to that Eagles rivalry, no matter what the records was of either team.
Carl, was that the nastiest of the rivalries that you had where it got
chippy? Absolutely.
Bavaro actually got thrown out of a game.
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, this was the rivalry that transcended because, like O.J. said in that clip, that was the bully on the block that you had to beat to show that you were better.
All right, time to put item number 7 up on the board. What about the X's and O's? It's time for strategy with Carl Banks.
When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles running game, Shady McCoy is the guy that you have to contain. And normally it's the guys behind the line of scrimmage that have to do it. Now, if he comes your way and you're a linebacker, you cannot afford to take a chance. Let's just run in slow motion and you'll see what I'm talking about. Play here, I'll freeze it. Linebacker should be here with his eyes on Shady McCoy. So what happens? I'll keep running it slow. He should be here. Remember, he tries to take the shortcut. McCoy goes where he should be. Just barely misses it, but that's the speed of LeSean McCoy. Now let's take a look at Michael Vick. The same principles apply when Michael Vick is in the shotgun. Rush contain lanes are at a premium. If you're a defensive end, if you're supposed to be upfield, stay upfield. Let's take a look here. When the coverage is good, let's see what happens when contain breaks down. Look at the two defensive ends. Michael Vick has nowhere to throw the ball. He's scrambling out. Keep an eye on this defensive end here. Two guys get washed away. Last second he jumps in, Michael Vick goes out. Now defensively, they're in a 3-4 defense, but if you take a look, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys inside the tackle box here, and it's almost slanted to one side. So making sure that you have your responsibilities taken care of so that you don't turn one guy loose. I'll freeze it. Everyone has a guy, and the single on the backside is the guy who gets beat. Counting the numbers up front and making sure that you have your guy. Those are some of the keys to a winning strategy against the Philadelphia Eagles. Back to you, Bob.
That strategy with Carl Banks. Strategy brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Well, still to come on the program, Pat Hanlon's warming up those vocal cords. Guess what, folks? Giants Online is next. You don't want to miss Patty H. And, you know, that whole Giants-Eagles rivalry, that was just a little taste of it. Make sure you check out Giants Chronicles, the Giants-Eagles rivalry. It debuts Sunday morning on MSG at 10 a.m., and then it airs on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Online coming up next, you're on Giants First and 10 on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Sunday, it's the Giants and Philadelphia Eagles. Time for our online segment. Senior Vice President of Communications Pat Hanlon by my side. You all ready to go? You fired up?
We don't get a win. The goatee's got to go.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a promise?
Pretty much,
yes. I'll bring the razor next
pretty
week.
Pretty much.
I'll bring the razor. All right, so joining us this week in studio, does a great job covering the Giants. You can follow him. He's prolific on Twitter as well. Tom Rock of Newsday. Tom, you ready to go?
You know, this week, Tom Coughlin asked for a show of hands on who would have gone for it on fourth down there. I'm waiting for the vote to find out when we got a punt on third down with this offense.
Ooh, coming out firing.
Well, that's a little Twitter-like material.
Yeah, there. Now Art Stapleton of the record. What do you think?
What about punting on third?
Punting on third? I don't know. Maybe second. I don't know. Get the hurry up going.
Item number 8. Remember, this is 10 things you need to know and get you set for the Giants and Eagles. So item number 8, the Giants and dealing with the media earlier this week.
Sure, yeah. Well, we had a little bit of back and forth there. Victor Cruz questioning the decision to go for it on fourth down, which really shouldn't have been questioned at all, given if he had watched that third and one play on the series before, he would have known that's not the play to go for it on fourth down there. But then everybody comes to Tom Coughlin's defense. Now it's nice that they're defending him on the most logical decision that he's made in his 10 years here with the Giants. But it was good to see that the Giants came out and Justin Tuck made all of his comments and Antrell Roll said it's not the coach's fault. Right. So this team is not splintering away from the head coach.
Well, you know what? It's because Tom Coughlin hasn't gone away from this team. You know, you could have gone two different directions if you're the head coach. If you're Tom Coughlin, you could have looked at this team and read them the riot act in the media. And some coaches have taken that tack. I think Coughlin's gone the other way. You know, he's got to judge the pulse of this team, see where they're at. And I think if he came out swinging, as he joked about with Victor Cruz, and this team may have gone back into a hole. And instead, it's, again, that positive reinforcement. And I think that's the reason why this team has not stopped listening to Tom Coughlin. But it does come down to results. This team is 0-4. They need to perform.
I'll be curious, very curious to see how the Steelers react, because the Mike Tomlin took the complete other reaction and started putting it on his team and saying, you know, you're either with us or you're not here. And we got to get this thing
going. Well, there's two things. One is, first of all, Pittsburgh has a bye week this week. Right? So he wanted to send them on their merry way, remembering that when they get back, they've got a lot of work to do, right? The second thing is these are the kinds of conversations you have when you're 0-4, Bobby.
Correct.
We're talking about Victor Cruz, who, as a competitor, wants to go for it regardless. He's not talking about it from a strategic standpoint. He's talking about it from a competitive standpoint. And also he's talking about it from the fact that he just made a big play that came up just short, and he knows that if we go for it, which we shouldn't, but if we go for it and get it, now the momentum's on our side.
And he had it taken away, too, because he had it first and then had it taken away on the replay.
All right, let's put item number 9 up as we get you set for the Giants and Eagles. Item number 9, influence of some young players that the Giants need to step up.
And part of it is out of necessity. I mean, this pass rush has been dormant, to say the least, and that's a nice way of putting it. Demontre Moore has got to get more defensive reps, and then with all the injuries at defensive tackle, they need Jonathan Hankins to step up into that role. You know, Linval Joseph is a question mark with his injuries, with the way everything's going on. You know, you need to stop the run against Philly, and I think you need those guys to step up.
Yeah, you look stunned.
I was listening to somebody in my ear.
You know, listen, I guess you could also look at it, Tom, in the sense that, all right, you're always nervous about young guys because of mental mistakes and assignments, but when you're 0-4, the guys that know the assignments, it's not getting you wins anyway. You might as well go with some guys in there that might make some plays by accident.
Sure, yeah, change things up. Get some guys with enthusiasm out there, guys who are a little more unbridled maybe and can run around like Moore was talking about being a young puppy out there, just right. Like a big Labrador jumping on people.
He has great energy. If you watch him from the gunner position on the punt team, you can see that energy.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you know, we give you guys every Wednesday morning, we give you the injury list. My fingers got tired typing up this week's injury report. I don't think I've ever typed 15 names before and put it on. But there are no excuses. We've run out of excuses, right? We're 0-4. We can sit here and talk and try to adjust. The 15 names don't mean anything on that list. The length of that list doesn't mean anything. No more excuses, Tommy.
All right. We're out of time. I hate it to mute you,
next week.
No, it's now time for your prediction.
Oh, my prediction?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me grab that.
I do think this is the week that the Giants get off the schneid here and finally find a win. I'm not so sure how it's going to happen. There's really no part of the offense that's functioning right now that can spark them to it. But you look at the Eagles and their struggles, and it's just two desperate teams, and I think the Giants are going to come out on top.
All right.
Best part about the Giants' offense this week is the Eagles' defense. You know, the team that struggles most in the second half is probably going to one that loses, and both of these teams have had their second half struggles. I think the Giants finally get on the board, maybe 37-31, something to that effect. It's going to be high scoring and probably pushing those 415, 425 games, but I think the Giants finally get a win.
All right, the mantra out there, Giants fans, is get Hanlon a razor for next
no,
week.
No.
Gentlemen?
Let the goatee grow. Oh. That's the mantra.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to shave it.
You want it to grow. So you want that ZZ Top look by the end
of the year. I want the W to fall out of this goatee.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. So no razor for Hanlon. We don't want him shaving. When we come back, we're going to give you a close shave as far as the keys to the game. We'll break it down for you as we continue with Giants 1st and 10 here on MSG. Paul's channeling even preseason games.
They, believe me, they don't even remember preseason.
You know, you said it's like a symphony. We've all got to work together.
Let's put a minute on the clock. Discuss.
So you want that ZZ Top look by the end
of the year. I want the W to fall out of this goatee.
And that's our Geico recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. All right, it is time for item number 10. It's the keys to the game as far as the Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Mr. Banks, we'll start with you, and you're talking about containment.
It's all about containment. Shady McCoy can leak anywhere, but do not get off your block and take a chance until you know he's committed. Contain him.
Contain Shady McCoy. Roman, no dirty laundry this week.
No, and we've seen Eli Manning, you know, take his share of hits, sacks, getting up off the ground. There will be some chances out there on the field in the secondary. You got to run the right routes. You got to catch the ball, obviously, but you have to protect the quarterback. This is a week where you have to protect the quarterback.
Plain and simple, and also no dirty laundry as far as flags. The Giants last season allowed only 20 sacks the entire year, which was an NFL low. They've already given up 14. All right, Paul Dottino, forget about passing. I know you like to walk a lot. You're a prolific walker, but you believe the Giants need to do a little more than walking, running.
Yeah, how about running? And I'm going back to that offensive line, which needs to power some smash-mouth football against the Eagles. Philadelphia has given up 120 yards a game on the ground. They're one of the bottom in the league in doing that, Bobby. And it just seems to me that Brandon Jacobs is a guy who needs to get some more touches. I'd like to see him get 10 or so. If the Giants can keep their defense off the field, give these guys a chance to rest against that high-powered offense, and maybe pound it a little bit, that could be the ticket to win it.
All right, the kickoff at MetLife Stadium is at 1 p.m. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's why we're wearing our pink ribbons. And make sure if you're coming to the game, don't forget the new bag policy, clear plastic bag, no bigger than 12 by 6 by 8. If you're bringing a small purse, no bigger than 6.5 inches. Go to Giants.com for all the details. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Just a programming note, remember this, folks. Next week, the Giants play on Thursday Night Football in Chicago. So here are the dates and times of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. We will bring you our debut issue on Wednesday on MSG at 6:30 p.m., then 11 p.m. on MSG, and then it airs throughout the course of the day on Thursday as well. That wraps it up for this week's show. For Carl Banks, Roman Oben, Paul Dottino, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG.